Chapter 28. Han and Leia watched their monitor screens as the Falcon's rear holocams showed them the last few seconds in the existence of the asteroid. One moment it was there, the next it was replaced by a bright glow and an expanding pulse of energy. Glum, Han activated his comm board.
"Sensors show an energy yield that says fission bombs to me. I don't think anyone has used fission bombs since near the start of the Yuuzhan Vong War."
Leia shook her head.
"Somebody was very serious."
No one answered over the comm board, but a noise came from the speakers, labored breathing. Leia frowned and activated her microphone.
"Zek, is that you?"
"Not me."
"It's me."
The voice was Jag's, pained.
"Jag!"
Four people spoke his name simultaneously, Jaina loudest of all. She added,
"How did you get off the asteroid?"
"Got to the surface. Calmed my astromech, and it gave me distance and bearing to my X-wing. Fortunately, it was upright, just covered in dust. But it's damaged, and I don't think I can calculate a hyperspace jump right now."
Han heaved a sigh of relief.
"Don't worry about it, kid. We'll run the numbers for you. You just catch up to us."
He activated his transceiver, giving Jag's X-Wing a clear signal to home in on.
"Will do, sir."
"And don't call me sir. I hate that."
"Understood, sir."
Sanctuary Moon of Endor, Jedi Outpost. Luke and Ben, similarly clad in dark Jedi robes, swept into the communications center. At a nod from Luke, the Jedi technician on station there withdrew into the corridor, leaving them alone with the hologram of Han and Leia. Han's hologram offered Luke a lopsided smile.
"Hey, old buddy.
It's good to see you."
Luke's gesture suggested he would prefer to be able to embrace his sister and brother-in-law.
"A live holocom transmission all the way from Bimiel? This is an extravagance for you, isn't it?"
Leia nodded.
"Big news calls for a big show. Luke, Alimarar is dead."
Luke let out a long breath. "At last." He looked between them.
"She gave you no choice?"
"None."
Leia's tone was decisive.
"Jag is badly injured. Zek is a bit perturbed, but coming out of it. Jaina is unhurt. Also, the asteroid was destroyed."
Luke cocked an eyebrow at her.
"That seems a little excessive."
Han snorted.
"Not our doing, Luke. An unmarked frigate attacked while we were doing our support role thing. They launched shuttles that planted fission bombs all over the asteroid. Then they left. Alima's weird little Sith ship got away, too, but it was unoccupied."
"Then there's no hint as to who blew up the asteroid or why?" Han shook his head.
"A complete mystery. And you know how I feel about complete mysteries.
You don't care, as long as they don't interfere with you getting paid." Han grinned.
"Something like that."
Leia said,
"We're going to transport Jag to you. Jaina and Zek will escort us in."
Luke nodded.
"It'll be good to see you."
He glanced at the monitor that displayed data about this communication. "Another few seconds, and the odds of this contact being traced go up by an order of magnitude."
"See you in a couple of days, old buddy."
Han reached off to the side, his hand disappearing as it extended beyond the range of the holocam at his end, and the hologram winked out. Luke felt like sitting down, letting gravity just overcome him for a while. But that might worry Ben. At least it was over. Finally over.
Mara's killer was no longer a threat to him, to his family. He felt a touch of regret. Unlike Jason, Ali Marar had insanity to blame for the evils she perpetrated. If she had been able to accept help, she might have remained a force for calmness and order. But that was pointless speculation. Her life had ended. Perhaps Mara could rest easy now.
Dad?
Yes?
Are you all right?
Luke nodded. Better. Mara's murderer has met justice, and we can put that uncertainty behind us.
Yes.
Luke turned to face his son. There was something in Ben's reply. It was not in the tone of his voice, but there had been a little tug in the force when Ben spoke. Surely Ben didn't doubt that Alima was truly dead. Leia would not have said she was if there were any doubt. Luke pushed the question from his mind. Ben would tell him what was bothering him when he was ready. Why don't you go get in some training? I have some thinking to do. Ben nodded, dubious.
Let me know if you need anything.
Sure, Ben. On the outpost roof, Luke sat cross-legged on the hard surface of the landing pad, his back straight, a meditative posture. He could feel the permacrete surface beneath him, feel it as though it were a skin, connected to the outpost's permacrete and durasteel bones, its beams, its support columns, extending down into the soil and all the way to bedrock. He could feel the kilometers-thick mantle of stone beneath the bedrock, stretching down to the core of the moon, its massiveness suggesting eternity. He opened himself to the force and could feel the vibrancy of life around him, the energies of all the people in the outpost, the vitality of all the growing things. Once such a contact would have brought him serenity. It would have been peace to his spirit. Now it was merely information. And the force still offered him no guidance, no visions of his enemies, no glimpses of his future. He was no longer disturbed by any of this. He needed no reassurances about his future. Perhaps it all meant that there was no future to glimpse. Luke found himself to be unworried by the thought. There was a hum, the distinctive noise of the roof access lift. Luke could feel the force presence of his son arrive, could hear him approach. Ben hesitated, then moved into view, settling to the permacrete directly opposite Luke, assuming the same meditative pose. The boy did not speak, but neither did he relax into proper meditation. Luke could read Ben's emotions as clearly as though they were on the screen of a datapad. Restlessness, concern, and an unusual degree of mental focus. Luke let the boy wait. Eventually, Ben's restlessness would get the better of him, and he would speak his mind. That was the way of the young, of apprentices. But Ben still did not speak, and Luke could feel him become calmer, more settled, although his focus did not waver. Luke waited while breezes carrying the scents of the Endor forest stirred his hair. "Your feelings betray you, Ben." It was almost a ritual phrase now. The truth, cloaked in, and perhaps even disguised by cliché. Ben studied him, no emotion on his face.
"Betray me? Do they stab me in the back? Or do they just give me a swift kick in the butt?"
Despite himself, Luke grinned. "It's true. Under many circumstances, being betrayed by your emotions will do you no harm. But it's still best to remain aware of the fact that you are expressing them so clearly, transmitting them for anyone sufficiently sensitive to feel."
"All right,"
Luke paused. Clearly, the boy was not willing to be drawn out. You think something is wrong? Wrong with me?
Wrong is one of those kind of relative things. If I think something is wrong and you think it's right, which one of us is correct?
Luke nodded. It was a good response.
I suspect I would be. It's the whole master-apprentice, father-son, wise old man, foolish young man thing.
Right. It's nice that to be older is to always be right. I can't wait to be older.
So? Ben took a moment to compose himself and his thoughts.
I'm trying to figure out why you don't have any energy.
I have energy. It's waiting. In reserve.
Yeah, maybe. Except your energy used to empower other people, too. Get them moving. Make them enthusiastic. Not anymore. Ever since Mom was killed, you've been like someone with a land speeder resting on his back. Crushed flat. Hardly able to move because of the pain. I mean, me too. But for me, over time, that land speeder has slipped off, mostly. I kind of expected that when we learned that the one who'd killed her was captured or dead, the land speeder would be gone from your back, too. That you'd be able to move again.
Luke frowned, puzzled. I can move.
I'm not so sure. And I'm trying to figure out why.
Let's do some lightsaber training.
You'll see more of me moving than you want to.
Ben shook his head.
You're still not you. People are asking questions. Things like, when is Luke Skywalker going to find his center and make things better again?
Nobody knows what to tell them. Make things better? Luke tried not to let his surprise show, but it crept into his voice.
You mean snap my fingers, end this war, and cause flower petals to rain down on all civilized worlds?
Yeah, just like that.
Ben grinned, then sobered.
No, I think they just mean, when are you going to really take charge again? Of the Jedi, our role in the war. Lead, not just direct. Because that will make a difference.
Luke felt his spirits sag even lower.
Oh, Ben. They're asking that sort of question out of a misguided sense of what I can accomplish.
They've based their impressions of what I can do on things that happened when I was a younger man, with blind luck and boundless energy. And when you could count all the known Force users in the galaxy on the fingers of one hand.
Other Jedi can do what I do.
No, they can't. They can't be Luke Skywalker.
Luke studied the landing pad's surface for a moment. It could still serve its primary purpose, but it was scuffed, weathered, more frail than it had been when first installed. It seemed a perfect metaphor for his situation. You can't turn back time. It's not a land speeder resting on my back. It's the weight of years and events. I can't cast them off. And even if I could, I'd undo everything I've learned from them. Today I'm more useful as a teacher, a distributor of resources. That's my role. I really ought to be thinking about grooming a viable candidate to become the next Grand Master. Ben didn't speak for long moments, and Luke felt a growing swell of confusion and concern radiate from the boy. Then there was a jolt of stronger emotion from Ben. Fear. Luke looked up to see Ben suddenly on his feet, staring with an expression of naked alarm on his face. Luke offered a quizzical look. What is it?
I don't know how to say it. What are the right words?
Ben turned away from his father, looked around as if seeking confirmation from faces that weren't there, and turned back again. He was suddenly as frantic as someone at the crossroads of a maze with stormtroopers coming up behind him. Which way of several was best? Which ways led to capture or death? And then he was pacing, running his fingers through his hair, ruffling it as though the sudden untidiness would help the thoughts escape.
You want to be with Mom?
Of course I do. Don't you?
Yes, but for me it's different. I want her to be here, with us.
Ben stopped in mid-stride and whirled to face his father. A graceful move that Luke could appreciate with the Jedi Master portion of his mind.
You want to be with her where she is.
What do you mean?
You want to be dead. At peace. With her. Dead.
That's ridiculous.
No, it isn't. When Uncle Han and Aunt Leia told us Ali Marar was dead, you should have said, now I can get back to work. Instead, you're saying, now I can turn over the Jedi Order to someone who's worthy. You're getting ready to die. Problem is, you don't have an incurable disease or a blaster pressed against your head. So how's it going to happen?
Ben's voice cracked on the final word. Ben, that is so... You're just leaping to the wrong conclusion. Luke struggled for the right argument to make his son see that this was a ridiculous notion. But the argument just wasn't there.
That's what attachment is, isn't it?
Ben began pacing again, and words finally poured from him like water running through a shattered dam.
It's not loving somebody. It's not marrying somebody. It's not having kids. It's being where, if something goes wrong, there's nothing left of you. It's where if she goes away, you start functioning like a droid with a restraining bolt installed. Mom wouldn't want you to be this way. So why are you?
I can't help it.
Luke was on his feet, and the words wrenched out of him before he realized it. He rocked, unbalanced by the sudden violence of his emotions. Ben spun to stare at him.
You've got to!
How?
I don't know. You're the Jedi Master. You figure it out.
Luke felt real anger stir within him, a fire fanned by the insolence of Ben's tone. No, that was another lie. Luke lying to himself. The fire was being fanned by the fact that Ben was right. Luke closed his eyes, feeling his way through the insulation of peacefulness he'd constructed for himself across these past months. Beyond it, he tried to find himself. But at first he could feel nothing but the weight of his grief, and the one thing that kept him functioning while carrying that burden, his desire to be reunited with Mara. Reunited when the time came. Reunited in the Force. Then there was the other weight, the one he had largely slipped from his shoulders, the weight of his responsibility, to the Order, to his family, to the galaxy, to the living. Of course he had shrugged it off. No man could carry two such weights for any length of time. He would be crushed beneath them. But he had to carry the one he had set aside. Didn't he? I'm sorry, Mara. Knowing it to be a betrayal, Luke slowly, carefully stepped out from under his grief. It didn't leave him entirely. Just as Mara was still part of him, the pain of losing her would always be with him too. But suddenly it was easier to breathe, to think. He wondered how long it had been since he had truly thought clearly. And curiously, it didn't feel like a betrayal at all. Then there was that other weight, the weight of duty. He had carried it throughout his adult life, and at times it had ground him down. But at other times it had sustained him, helped keep him alive. Perhaps that was why he had been so willing to abandon it. It had been keeping him alive at a time when he did not want to live. With meticulous care, he picked up and shouldered that other weight. He opened his eyes. His son stood before him, anxious. But now Ben sighed, a brief exhalation of relief.
"Hey, Dad, look in a mirror."
"I don't need to."
"You know what? Your feelings betray you."
Luke suppressed a snort. "Ben, if you ever, ever say, 'I told you so,'
I won't.
I'll put you through a training session that would make Kip Duron cry.
I won't, I won't.
How did you get so smart, anyway? When I wasn't looking?" Ben shrugged. Once again, an adolescent at a loss for words. Luke put an arm around his son's shoulders and led him toward the lift. "You know, these are unsettled times. Things are too busy for many of our usual formalities. For ceremonies. For rites." Ben frowned, suspicious.
"What are you getting at?"
"I think you should begin building your lightsaber." Ben skidded to a stop and looked at Luke.
But I haven't faced my trials."
"What do you call pulling yourself back from the brink that Jason pushed you to? And then pulling the Grand Master back from his own brink?"
"Being obstinate."
"Show me a Jedi Knight who isn't obstinate." Luke stepped onto the lift plate and held his toe over the button inset in the permacrete. "Get to work on your weapon, son." He pressed the button and let the turbo lift carry him down. Back to his work. Back to his responsibility.